Hi, I'm Carmen LaBerge. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Hey friends, welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. We're trying to reconnect the eternal with the everyday in ways that honor Jesus, and that means that we're talking about not only what people are talking about in the headline news of the day, but we're talking about what some people are afraid to talk about. And today is one of those days. Today is actually a little bit different kind of show. I'm going to spend the entire hour in conversation with a young woman who has been touted by some very impressive people, in fact, as somebody that we should all know, a person to whom we should be listening. Her name is Chloe Howard. Her book is Stand Beautiful. Chloe is on a mission to empower people of all ages to embrace their uniqueness and boldly face their beautiful selves. So if you don't think you're beautiful, if you see yourself as flawed or scarred or broken in some way, then settle in, because this conversation is going to be God's gift of grace and healing and hope for you. Chloe Howard, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so I just want to let you start by telling your story. Start wherever you want to start and tell people why I'm talking to you today.
Okay, well, I was born 18 years ago in April of 2000, and I wasn't really supposed to be born alive. Doctors saw on an ultrasound a hole in my heart and two club feet 4 months before my due date, and were, of course, assuming that I would have trisomy 13 and would therefore be stillborn. And so my parents were heartbroken and were advised by these doctors to get an abortion. But because of my parents' beliefs, their faith, they chose not to, and I was born 4 months later, miraculously healed. I no longer had a hole in my heart, and I only had one severely deformed foot. And so growing up, my parents always told me that I was a miracle, that my foot was special. And even though there were moments when it was hard, I do have a deformed foot. So when I was born, my foot was upside down and backwards. And I also only have three toenails total. I had to have surgeries, many surgeries, and I had to go through casting and braces and painful physical therapy in order to learn how to walk and do stuff that other kids could do. But my parents reminded me of the VeggieTales truth, that God made me special and he loved me very much. My parents really reminded me that I was a miracle, that God made me just the way he wanted me to be made, that there was a plan for my life and that God had a purpose for me. And so by the time I started high school, I felt like I had a superpower, that there was something secret and unique about me that no one else had, and I loved sharing my story. But then at age 14, freshman year in high school, I was assaulted on my Christian high school campus because of my foot deformity. And I talk about this incident at length in my book, Stand Beautiful, but essentially, I was restrained. My arms were held at my sides, and I was lifted up. And without my consent, my sock and shoe were ripped off of my foot to expose my deformed foot to a group of the perpetrator's peers who did nothing to stop it and just leaned in to take a closer look. And I remember in that moment watching my special foot be held out in front of me in someone else's hands. I recognized that the way this story had been told in that moment, it wasn't in my power, that I hadn't been the one telling the story, and that didn't feel good to me. And I saw for the first time in my life my foot as something worthy of being ashamed of. And I started to doubt for a long period of time after this incident if I was worthy, if I was beautiful, if God really was with me all the time. And I became depressed. I started showing suicidal I started having suicidal thoughts. I started showing signs of PTSD. It was really challenging. But God showed up, even in my anger and sadness. I had a chance meeting with one of my heroes, Bono, the lead singer of the band U2, and I told him about my clubfoot and my assault, and about how one of his songs titled Invisible really helped me not feel invisible during this depressive period in my life. And his words changed my life. He told me that what happened to me is an injustice, and that every time I speak out about injustice, every time I tell my story, I speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. And that challenged me to, a year later, at age 16, give a TED Talk. And I got so much positive feedback from that that I started being asked to speak at schools and churches and company events around the nation. And then I partnered with an organization and went on an international speaking tour, spreading a message that soon got the name Stand Beautiful, of self-acceptance and love and anti-bullying, to countries like the Dominican Republic, Kenya, and India. And then I was approached with a 2-book deal. And so now I have a book, and it's crazy. And I can look back and see that God has been with me throughout this whole time, even if I couldn't see it in the moment. So essentially that's my story.
Well, and you tell it beautifully. Friends, I'm talking with Chloe Howard. The book is Stand Beautiful. And yes, I have some copies to give to listeners today. And you'll want to email me at carmen@myfaithradio.com to enter the drawing for the books. But you can also go to standbeautiful.me for more information. And the TED Talk to which Chloe is referring is really easy to find, and I'll push that out on my social media as well. Because I think, Chloe, the TED Talk, one of the things that I really appreciated about it is that I don't want to say this the wrong way, but it's appropriately sanitized of God language. And so you don't really get into the faith side of the conversation in your TED Talk, and I understand why, because that's really not the environment for that. You spend a lot of time in the TED Talk focusing on bullying, and you do so in the book as well, and we want to get to that subject. But I want to encourage people by almost going to the end of the story, and then because we have so much time today, we'll go back and fill in the blanks. But maybe you could share with folks like how you're feeling now in terms of, you know what, God does have a purpose for my life. God does have a purpose for the way that I am made. And it is beautiful, even if it's been a little fearful along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so crazy. Being at this point, I just graduated high school, just turned 18, and recognizing that I was assaulted because of my deformity freshman year and senior year, I published a book about it, is incredible. And I know that I don't have the power to do that on my own, that God has been with me throughout it all, and that he keeps giving me the courage to say yes, and he puts that courage in each of us as well. Just one of my favorite Bible verses is Acts 26:16, which says, "Now get up and stand on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see in me." And I love that verse because basically it's saying that God set us apart from the beginning, and that he has worked in our life, and he is currently working in our life, and he will continue to work in our life. He'll continue to show up. And I love that that applies to all of us, that he gives us the power to stand up, to tell our story, and that he's with us every moment.
So I want to go back to what you describe as a chance encounter with Bono. I would describe it as God's perfect providence, and the way that he orchestrated right, a contest that your dad won in order that you could meet Bono. Like, that whole thing is crazy. Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about that. And then maybe reinforce, like, the difference that one person can make by honestly speaking real truth into the life of a young person.
Yeah, so there is this super cool company called Omaze, which is based out of L.A., and their whole thing is giving everyday people the chance to meet their heroes. And so they run certain campaigns where celebrities will partner with a cause, and everyday people will donate a small amount of money to be entered into a contest and win, like, an opportunity to hang out with a celebrity. So they've done, like, for example, the Bono thing. Bono's cause was his organization, RED, which is to fight to end AIDS. And the opportunity that you had the chance to win was to hang out backstage with him and win a guitar. And so my dad is a huge YouTube fan, and growing up, On the way to school every morning, he and I would listen to you two in the car. And so when my dad saw this around December of 2014, a month after I had been assaulted, he was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. And donated $20 and then like figured he wouldn't win because we are a family that never wins anything. But he ended up winning, which is crazy. I 1,000% believe that that's a God thing. And that June, he and I were flown out to Denver and got the chance to meet him backstage. And he walked in and he was so cool. He was wearing all leather, even leather pants, and he was wearing his cool sunglasses inside, which is like the epitome of cool. And I had worked up the courage to tell him my story. And like I said, his words changed my life. And I do believe that we all need a hero in our life, that we desperately need leaders, someone to challenge us, to speak into us. And for some, it's our parents. For some, it's a teacher or a mentor. And for some of us, it's a rock star. And God works in and through and around us in crazy, crazy ways. And so at that part of my story, God used Bono to speak through me. And
hey, friends,
and that meant everything.
Chloe, we got to take a quick break. Friends, enjoy a little music from Bono and you two as we go into this break. I'll be right back with Chloe Howard. We're going to continue our conversation. The next subject up is bullying. I'm Carmen LaBerge. You're listening to Connecting Faith. Friends, welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. I am joined today by Chloe Howard. She's my conversation partner. Chloe was born with a foot deformity, had 5 major surgeries by the time she was 15. She's now a whopping 18, so, you know, she is a person with a world of experience already. And through her experiences, Chloe learned so much. She's learned so much about dignity and worth and value, and unfortunately, she learned that through the horrible experience of bullying. And so we're going to talk about that today. Chloe is the voice of Stand Beautiful. It's a movement promoting the acceptance of self and others. She's been featured in a number of outlets, and she's the subject of 2 documentaries. She's toured internationally with Cure.org. And we're talking about her book today, Stand Beautiful. Chloe, let's talk about bullying. In the back of the book, you actually address it very specifically. You've got resources there if a person is being bullied. But talk with us about the prevalence of bullying in America today. And I think it's going to be a real surprise to listeners what's going on in America's schools.
Yeah, well, as I say in my TED Talk, you know, bullying is an epidemic. I remember in elementary school, we were taught about Project Cornerstone, this whole idea of filling someone else's bucket, how you pour into people and it fills their bucket and makes them happy. And somehow if you fill someone's bucket, that can change the world. And I never really understood that idea because, as again, I ask in my TED Talk, how can you possibly fill someone else's bucket when yours is broken? And I know that especially in today's world right now, there is so much brokenness. There are awful things happening every day, and there are awful things happening within us. Maybe it's a social media culture, maybe it's political unrest, but whatever it is, it's causing pain inside of each and every one of us, and insecurity is sprouting, and everyone is just, it's awful to watch. And I firmly believe that when we are able to love ourselves for the perfectly imperfect people that we are better equipped to love others. And so that's why I'm so passionate, not only about my memoir, Stand Beautiful, but about my picture book, Stand Beautiful. I really believe that we need to foster a new generation of children that know how to recognize and accept the differences in another and in themselves. And I think that generation is the one that's going to have to change the world.
All right. Let me tell our listeners, the drawing that you're entering is for the Stand Beautiful book, which is a story of brokenness, beauty, and embracing it all. And now I am going to be hot on the trail of the picture book. Because Chloe, one of the things Chloe knows about me is that I have a little person in my life. Parts of his body are not shaped like other people. And so Matthew has hands and feet and actually a head that are shaped quite differently than what is considered normal in our culture. Chloe and I are going to talk about what is normal and what that word means. But Matthew's hands don't look like other people's hands, and Matthew's feet certainly don't look like other people's feet. You boast three toenails, and so in our family, that would be a lot. That would be a gracious plenty of toenails in our family. So so I think that the whole idea of a picture book, I totally love. Are they photographs? Are they drawings? What's the picture book look like?
They're drawings, yes, and the drawings are so cute. Unfortunately, I am artistically challenged, so they are not my illustrations, but they're adorable. And it's while the memoir is about my story, how I came to Stand Beautiful and then start the movement, the children's picture book is about a little girl and a giraffe with a crooked neck who's actually based on a real-life giraffe that I've had some interactions with growing up. And it's about the two of them going on this journey to learn how to accept the differences in others, how to love each other. And they interact with all these characters of different species, different sizes, different colors, different shapes, and they all have differences. And some of those differences you can see, and some of those differences are on the inside. And so it's learning how to recognize and acknowledge differences, and that differences all in all should be celebrated.
All right, I love it. And you guys, you can go to beautiful.chloehoward.com. You can go to standbeautiful.me. If you want to enter a drawing for the memoir book, you can email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com, and I will be hot on the heels of getting the picture book as well. I have just Googled it. It is adorable and beautiful, and I can't wait to have my own. So there, I may be ordering it while you and I are talking today. I want to talk about the word normal. Interact with that word for me.
Yeah, well, I personally believe that quote-unquote normal does not exist because we all have separate realities, which mean we all have a different normal. Growing up, my reality was that I had a club foot, that I'm missing seven toenails, and one of those toenails doesn't even look like a regular toenail. It's like a little circle. My reality was showing up to school in a wheelchair and trying to deal with people's stares and not being able to wear the same sandals that my friends could or wear heels at eighth grade graduation. My reality was going on daddy-daughter dates to see my surgeon and being picked up early from play dates to go get my cast removed. And that was my reality. And everyone has a separate reality. And so the word normal, I mean, what does that mean? Like, how are we expected to fit into society's mold of this idea of normal when normal really doesn't exist?
It's so awesome. All right, friends, you can actually go to Amazon.com and get the Stand Beautiful picture book. I have just done so, so it doesn't take very long. Stand Beautiful is a memoir. It's a book. It's a movement. It's also a picture book. And the author is Chloe Howard, my conversation partner today. So I learned by reading your book, I learned it when I saw the cover. You and I have a mutual friend. So Margot Starbuck and
really?
I went to graduate school together at Princeton 100 years ago.
Before
you were born. Yes, but so when I saw her name on the front of your book, I was then, of course, scanning to see evidence of her in it. And I think I see evidence of her in it because she is quite a wordsmith and does a very good job putting structure to stories. And so I'm just curious to know, how you interacted, because you were a teenager doing this and writing a book as a teenager, as a person, as an author who has written a book. I mean, I can't even imagine how challenging that would have been. So tell me about the interaction that you had with other adults, including Margot, in this process.
Yeah, so let me just start off by saying that Margot Starbuck is incredible. She is amazing. And when the first moment I met her, she came to visit me out in California to like learn more about my story. I knew from the very first second I met her that she was standing beautiful. And it's so cool to watch someone live as genuinely, as joyfully, as authentically and beautifully as she does. And so getting to work with her was so fun. Like you said, you can really see her in the structure of the book. She did an incredible job mapping out my life and kind of organizing it for me in a way that made sense. And then it was fun because I did a lot of the writing. I've been told by people who know me quite well or people that have just interacted with me once that my book sounds like me. And it was so fun writing it, making it funny and making it appropriately sad, and just rereading it and knowing that my book sounds like the conversation and the daily thoughts that go in my head all the time. It's so fun. And so again, Margot was incredible. And I do think that it has been weird interacting with adults, trying to live in a semi-adult world as an author, as a international inspirational speaker, interacting with professionals and being like, hey, I'm Chloe, I'm 18 years old. I just graduated high school. But it's so fun because we are all on a journey and God has a plan for each of us. And for whatever reason, he has decided that my time is right now. And it reminds me of the story of Esther, you know, that infamous verse that goes like, for such a time as this. And I do believe that we are all doing exactly what we were meant to do, exactly where we were meant to do it, with exactly who we were meant to do it with, all because it's part of God's plan. And so, sure, it's been kind of crazy at times trying to write a book and finish my senior year, but it's been so fun, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
So can I be so bold to ask what you're doing this fall?
Yeah, I am attending college in Southern California, which I'm really excited about. But of course, I will keep standing beautiful. I already have speaking events lined up for the next two semesters. And of course, I'll keep sharing my story and promoting my book. I'm so excited.
I just love it. All right, we probably have to take another break here at the bottom of the hour. But friends, let me just highlight for you Chloe's story, as told in the book Stand Beautiful, is what I would describe as a really approachable read for parents, for teenagers. If you are looking for a book to do maybe with your girls' small group at your church. I mean, you can do it with boys as well. It's certainly not a gender-specific read. But I particularly think, Chloe, that for girls, and maybe we can talk about this when we come back after the break, I think that girls and beauty and the expectations that we have in our culture are just really complicated. So maybe the conversation that we could have when we come back is, you know, what's it like to be a girl? All right, friends, yes. Chloe Howard is my guest. The show is Connecting Faith, and I'm Carmen LaBurge. We'll be right back. Hey friends, welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBurge. My conversation partner today is Chloe Howard. We're talking about Chloe's experience over the course of her life. She's just now 18, and she has already published two books, her memoir, which you're saying to yourself, what? We have an 18-year-old who already has a memoir? Yes, we do. And I think, Chloe, that one of the things I love about you is your willingness not only to tell your story, but the beauty and strength with which you do that. And so, friends, if you are not already familiar with this force to be reckoned with, Chloe Howard is a person who you need to know, whose story you need to know. and whose counsel on the subject of not only our uniqueness as individuals and our need to embrace what makes each one of us different and therefore beautiful, and in order to accept one another and the differences of others, we have to accept our own differences first. So, Chloe, I really appreciate that. Let's pick up where we left off. One of the things that I did prior to talking with you today is that I sent our mutual friend Margot an email, and I said, "What should I ask?" And she kind of laughed, and she said, "Ask her about being a girl," which I thought was a really good question, because it didn't occur to me to approach this conversation from that angle, but I'd like you to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I do want to preface it with that although my books are called Stand Beautiful and my movement is called Stand Beautiful, and beautiful is technically or stereotypically associated with women or girls, I do believe that the message of self-acceptance and love and anti-bullying is not one that is gender-specific, that everyone, girls and women, boys and men, need to hear this message that they are perfect just the way they are and beautiful in their society-deemed imperfections. But I will say that I have gotten a lot of feedback from girls that they are maybe more vocal about aligning with this message and about identifying with my story. And being a girl is hard. And I'm sure that being a boy is too, not that I can speak to that, but I have dealt in my life so much with insecurity. I've always believed that God had a plan for my foot, but there are other parts of my body that I haven't always been so comfortable with. There are times when I walk into a room and compare myself to everyone there. And I heard someone once say that comparison is the thief of joy. And I don't know who said that, but I think that it could not be more true, that comparison and the plight it is on girls and young women everywhere is really hard. It's really challenging. And I don't know if there's an easy answer, but what I can say is that when we recognize that God has a plan for us, that he did not make any mistakes and that he made us all looking different, all talking different, he made us all different because he wanted us to be that way. And he put us exactly where he wanted us to be with exactly who he wanted us to be with, right when he wanted us to be there. And that God has really good things planned for us, and remembering that, I guess, doesn't take away the insecurity, but it makes it easier to deal with, and it kind of puts it in perspective. And I don't know if I will ever fully get over that, but I don't think that that's the point. I think that the point is that recognizing that we are beautiful in our society deemed imperfection, that God loves us just the way we are.
Friends, I'm talking with Chloe Howard. The book is Stand Beautiful. The movement is Stand Beautiful. And Chloe stands beautiful. I would love for you to talk about the first time that you wrote the word beautiful on your foot, and maybe the lead up to that, and then what that's meant to you since.
Yeah, so I was assaulted on November 20th of 2014 at age 14, a freshman at this Christian high school that I had attended for freshman year. And I went in feeling great. I went in, even though I struggled with friends for a little bit, I felt good and I felt like I was in a place that I belonged. And it wasn't until I was standing in the lunch quad one day and watching my special foot be held out in someone else's hands and recognizing that the same scars that I saw every day, the same permanent discoloration, the same naked toes that I had grown so used to seeing, they looked suddenly so foreign in my eyes and looked so ugly. And I've always been proud of my scars, but in that moment after the assault, I was not proud. I was ashamed, and I felt used in a way that I had never felt before, and I felt ugly. And in this period, I became depressed, and then suddenly something changed, and I don't know what changed, and I don't know if I'll ever know. And I don't know when I started or why, but this thing happened in me where I came home every day from school and I would go up to my room and close the door and I would sit at my desk in my chair and put my foot up on my little desk and write the word beautiful in Sharpie over my biggest scar on the inside of my left club foot. And it kind of just became this thing that I did. And it was meaningless when I started, but over time it became the most important thing. Having that word beautiful written in Sharpie over this scar every day kind of became a proclamation. It became a cry out. It became kind of the first ways that I started telling my story and fighting against the injustice. And over time, as I was writing this word over my broken foot every day, I started to associate this idea of beauty with my seemingly ugly foot. And over time, I started to believe the truth that my deformed foot was truly beautiful. And I didn't believe it because my parents said it, and I didn't believe it because I believed it because I wanted to believe it and because I believed that Psalm 139:14 says that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made. And believing that truth was what kind of set me on this path to stand beautiful, to help everyone recognize that their society deemed imperfections are beautiful.
So this isn't, I mean, stand beautiful is your story, but stand beautiful mm-hmm. is also everybody's story. And that's part of the point I think yes. you're trying to make, is that each and every one of us has to make the choice at some point. We actually have to choose. And mm-hmm. until we get to that place where we choose to stand beautiful in whatever our, I loved your language here, society deemed imperfections are, mm-hmm. until we get to that place, we are on the bully side of the conversation. I'm curious to know. I recognize that the people who perpetrated this assault were young people at the time, but my guess is either mm-hmm. all or most of them have now graduated from high school. And so I'm wondering if anyone has sought forgiveness, if anyone has sought to be reconciled. It's a curiosity for me.
Yeah, so I have chosen to forgive them, but that was not an easy thing to do for a long time. I was angry and hurt and so very confused. And then suddenly it got even more confusing because a California district attorney decided to prosecute the case. And then the two main perpetrators, their families hired private attorneys, and although they had initially apologized, they soon revoked their apologies and refused to plead guilty, even though my assault was caught on security footage. And so we spent almost a year and a half in court and then more months in trial, and it made it really complicated. And I remember having to testify on the stand and being cross-examined and recognizing that every single time I arrived at the courthouse to like go and listen to people try and poke holes in my story, I would be referred to as the victim. They'd always say, okay, this family and this family are present, and the victim is present as well. And I was always referred to as a victim. And this, I realized sitting there up on that stand that this label of victim was starting to like become my entire identity, that it was affecting every single part of my life, and that I was always falling back on this victim identity, and I didn't know how to escape it. And it wasn't until I was sitting up there on the stand trying to defend what I knew to be true, I realized that only I have the power to determine what my labels are, that I was not stuck as the victim, that I could choose to see myself as God sees me, which is beautiful, which is more than a victim, which is powerful and strong and resilient. And it was when I realized that I didn't have to be the victim that I realized that I could let go of this weight that I'd been carrying around for so long, that I wanted to forgive because I didn't want to hold on to this bitterness forever. I wanted to stand beautiful and move on and not forgive and forget, but to recognize that this chapter of being a victim could be over.
Hmm. That is so powerful. I think that's a, Chloe, that's a word that everybody needs to hear. Everybody needs to recognize that the labels that other people put on us, we do not have to accept for ourselves. And we can live as the people whom God has already labeled, as his own, as, you know, as child, as worthy of his divine affection, protection, guidance, blessing, inheritance, you know, on and on and on and on. So I appreciate your vulnerability and willingness to share that. Friends, I need to take one more quick break. When we come back to Connecting Faith, Chloe Howard and I are going to be making the connecting point. You are listening to Connecting Faith, and I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prisoner shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Hey friends, welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm your host, Carmen LaBerge. I am joined today by Chloe Howard, and together we're going to make the connecting point. So Chloe, I've already shared with you that I have a stand beautiful person in my life. Actually, now understanding from you that we are all stand beautiful people, I suppose my entire world is filled with stand beautiful people. But I have a specific person in mind here, and that's Matthew. Matthew is 12 years old, and his feet and his hands and his skull are not shaped like the rest of us. He has something called Apert's syndrome, and he was born with webbed fingers. He bears the scars of lots of skin grafts. And then his feet, well, let's just say he doesn't have any traditional toes. And so I guess I really just want to know from you, maybe you could help me know how to help him be a stand beautiful person in his own skin.
I love that you have shared this story with me. I know that for me growing up, my parents telling me that God had a plan for my life meant everything, because growing up in a world where from the minute I came out of the womb, I knew that I was different. Growing up in that reality would have been so hard if my parents hadn't reminded me multiple times a day that God made me the way he did for a reason, because he had an incredible plan for me. And I guess I always accepted that to be true, but it wasn't until I kept seeing God show up in the midst of my pain after the assault that he truly did have an incredible plan for my life, bigger and better than anything I could imagine now. And so I know it's so hard sitting in the pain and the brokenness and the confusion of seeing your son and loving him and wondering why it had to be him. But I do know that that answer maybe is one that we may never know, but it's all about faith. As Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we cannot see. And I feel like I have been blessed in that I can look back and see for a fact that God has showed up time and time again, and I have the faith that he will keep showing up in the future. And I don't know the answer, but I believe in a God who does. And so whether you realize that answer in the time you're here on earth, or whether it's one that you never come to see, it's about believing in the good of this world, believing that your son Matthew is beautifully made, and that he is perfect just the way he is, and that his skull and his hands and his feet were crafted by God, and that he spent time on those hands and those feet and on that skull, that, you know, society may try and throw ugly labels at him. They might try and call him things, but God looks down, the creator of all things good the creator of this universe and calls him special and gives him purpose and appoints him as a prophet to tell of the good things that God's done in his life.
So maybe I should have a conversation with your mom, because I like want to beat up other kids, and that does not seem like an appropriate act. Right. So I think that the challenge as an adult who so passionately loves this person, and recognizing that we live in this culture that is so fixated on particular forms and particular definitions of beauty and quote unquote normal. And so even when little kids will ask Matthew, you know, why do you look like that? And Matthew will say, God made me this way. And they will persist. Mm-hmm. Why do you look like that? And Matthew, I mean, he is not the one who's defensive and upset. I am, you know, 10 feet away. I can hear it. I'm seeing the interaction. And I am not doing as well as Matthew is in that moment. And I also, you know, I also recognize that, you know, in middle school, I have all this anxiety, right, about what's happening in the lunchroom or what's happening in the bathroom or what's happening in those spaces and places where the teachers can't be present all the time and aren't present all the time.
Totally.
And so,
yeah,
you know, maybe maybe equip me to I don't know, do I need to be free of those concerns? Do I need to, I feel like I just need to be prepared in advance for the day that he comes home, that it has happened. I just don't know how to protect him from all the bullies in the world.
Right. And that is an impossible task. And I definitely don't want you to beat yourself up over trying to have to be or feel the pressure to be this super mom that can protect your great son from all the horrors of the world and the horrors of middle school. I will say that for all parents that have children who are different in any way, whether physically or inside, that you made no mistake, that you're doing nothing wrong. The best thing you can do for your kid is listen, is talk to them about what they're going through, ask them about their day, and know how to recognize when they're starting to isolate themselves from their friends at school or from you. I self-sabotage and isolated myself a lot after my assault. And my parents were both really good about recognizing that and finding me in my room. And even when I didn't want to talk about it, I didn't want to acknowledge the pain I was going through at school, and the pain that was twirling all inside of me every day, my parents found me and met me where I was and acknowledged my pain and acknowledged that I was going through was real, and then reminded me over and over again that God had a plan, God had a plan, God had a plan. And of course, someone that's in the midst of a broken experience is not going to want to hear that. They're not going to want to hear that God has a plan, because they want to feel acknowledged right where they are now. But remembering deep down that God has a plan for you as a mother, you as a dad, you as a parent, and that God has a plan for your kid is so important. And of course, you know, I was the one that made the decision to go to this Christian high school when I did. And there were my Christian teachers paroling the lunch area at the time of my assault. And my parents, they couldn't do anything to stop it. And there are things that happen sometimes that are out of our control, and we so want to protect ourselves, but we just can't. And if the day ever does come when Matthew comes home and something has happened, it's about what you do moving forward. It's about acknowledging what happened and then equipping him to be resilient.
Hmm. So again, friends, I'm talking with Chloe Howard. She is wise way beyond her 18 years. The book is Stand Beautiful. There's also a picture book by the same name. And if you are interested in our drawing for a copy of the book, you can email me, Carmen@myfaithradio.com. Chloe, I would love to know what it was like to meet Bethany Hamilton. And you'll have to remind our listeners who Bethany is and what her experience is. But I want you then to share with us what it was like to meet her.
Yeah, so Bethany Hamilton is a professional surfer and speaker, and I believe at age, I think she was 13, she was in her home area of Hawaii, and her arm was bitten off by a shark. And, of course, wanting, like, being this girl who wanted to be a professional surfer, that was terrible for her, and she was like, oh my gosh, my life is over. But because she is strong, and because she is brave, and because she recognizes that you can always find beauty through brokenness, and that she had the power to be resilient, she got back in the water, literally. And she got back in that same water after her arm was healed, and is now surfing all over the world and has books and movies and all this crazy stuff, and is really, really attuned to what God wants for her life and really believes in his good plan. And so she is, I don't know how much older she is than me, maybe not even 10 years, I think, but she has been a hero of mine. Growing up, I remember watching that movie Soul Surfer, which told her story about the shark attack and how she got back in the water. And I was inspired and challenged. And that idea of getting back in the water kind of fueled me in a way after the assault. And my quote-unquote getting back in the water was showing up to school each day following the assault, riding the bus with one of my perpetrators, getting out of the bus and walking onto this campus where I didn't feel safe and I didn't feel heard or seen or like I belonged, but living on that campus and trusting that God had bigger and better plans for me. Getting back in the water was getting on that TED stage at age 16, not ever having spoken publicly before, and standing there barefoot on that red circle, telling my truth, not knowing who could be listening. Getting back in the water has been this crazy journey for me, and it started with watching Bethany Hamilton doing it. And so meeting her this, like, I think it was 2 Octobers ago, was incredible. Sharing my story with her and telling her how I, in my own life, was challenged and inspired to get back in the water. And I believe this whole message of getting back in the water is one that we all need to take to heart. Whether it's showing up at a school that you feel like you don't belong in, or speaking your truth, even though you know that people could use it against you, we all have situations in our life where God gives us the courage to get back in the water. And I think that that's part of the message of Stand Beautiful, trusting that God doesn't put us through things in our life that we can't handle.
Friends, I'm going to share with you, not as a spoiler, but as an enticement, the 3 action points of Standing Beautiful, which are all the way in the back of the book. Stand Beautiful is the title of the book. The 3 action points are: 1, we're embracing our undeniable worth and beauty. 2, we're redefining normal. And 3, we're reflecting the beauty of others. Chloe Howard, thank you so much for this conversation. Thank you for your willingness to tell your story. Thank you for your willingness to become a person like Bethany Hamilton became for you, that other, particularly young people, but old people as well, can look at you and can share in this revelation of the redemption of the way that we're made, because we are. It is by the act of God that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. So let me thank you for joining us today on Connecting Faith. Friends, if you would like to enter a drawing for the book, you can send me an email, carmen@myfaithradio.com. And we are about out of time, so you can visit us online at the My Faith Radio website on the Connecting Faith page for more information. All right, friends, have a great day, and God bless. Thanks for listening to this episode of Connecting Faith. These conversations are available because of listener support. Thanks for making a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To catch future editions of Connecting Faith, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend to connect the eternal with the everyday through Connecting Faith.